I'm Steve Potter, and still to come on Cityscape, our arts and culture reporter Nancy Fowler will look back at things that impacted the arts scene in St. Louis in 2014. But first, a look back at the year in food and drink. For our last monthly soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine for 2014, please welcome Sauce restaurant critics Michael Renner and Matt Berkeley, along with executive editor LaGaia Figueres. Hi to you all.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. LaGaia, 2014, what's the big picture when you look back on the scene here?
The big picture, I think it was pretty tasty. We have a number of restaurants that were really highly anticipated, even nationally. And I think what we've also seen is our diners are continuing to be more sophisticated than ever, and chefs are really responding with some exciting food.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about in this segment.
We do.
Michael, your column for Sauce is new and notable. Matt's, yours is Nightlife. Tell me how long you've been writing and what you focus on in your column, Michael.
So I do the new and notable, and I focus on all the new restaurants that are opening up in town, fine dining, other kinds of restaurants. And I've been writing for Sauce since probably 03, something like that, but I've done other restaurant reviewing before that.
Matt?
I have been with the magazine since, guys, 2008, so it's not new, but I've taken on the role of the nightlife critic, and essentially a lot of late nights trying out all kinds of alcoholic treats and dancing the night away. So I get to have that kind of fun.
All right, let's begin. When you look back on the year 2014, talk about the restaurants that you both reviewed. What ones were you excited about over the last 12 months and why?
Well, LaGaia had mentioned some restaurants that were just nationally anticipated. One of them was Peacemaker. It's Kevin Nash's new seafood restaurant. He owns Sydney Street Cafe, and it's on Sydney Street where the old Niche restaurant used to be. And that's been hotly anticipated, I think mostly because he's bringing it all – really fresh seafood. I mean, he brings in it every day. So he goes up to the airport every day, and so he's bringing in Maryland crabs. He's bringing in Maine lobster. So I think that was one that was really – people were really looking forward to.
I think another anticipation – it was a big one for this year, especially the one that stood out. It was the first one we did for this year was Planter's House. And that was just a huge opening. And for a lot of reasons, not only because it's one of those – it's a bar – but it is much, it's almost much more of a restaurant, and that's a lot of the nightlife. I do the nightlife column, but a lot of the bars that I was doing this year were very much food focused, and this one especially. And if you don't know anything about the Planter's House, it was actually originally it was a 19th century. It was a hotel, famous hotel downtown, and presidents and all kinds of celebrities would come through, and this was the place to be. And I believe it had several different incarnations, but they just reopened this past year, and it's got that feel, that very 19th century Victorian parlor. You want to be here all night long, and the food is absolutely exquisite, much, much better than any kind of bar food that you would ever imagine. And the drinks are just the meticulous nature of it. It's not hoity-toity, but they have different specific cuts of ice for each type of drink.
I think also, well, I'm going to jump into with Planter's and simply say, you know, it's kind of like when you have this fantastic athletic team and they're all running on the same cylinder and they're just a pleasure to watch. Same thing in a kitchen when you have a team of chefs that works so well together. That's what they have at Planter's House, is a team of phenomenally talented bartenders. So if you do really want to experience a cocktail at its finest level in town, it's a wonderful place to begin.
It's one of those where if you had somebody in from out of town and they need drinks, this is where you bring them. This is the place to impress them.
And what do you mean different cuts of ice?
Well, actually different shapes. Like they'll have one that'll almost take up like the majority of the glass, and then some of just actual different shapes of ice, and they complement each drink. So whether it's meant to be a little bit more watered down or a little bit more flashy, it's just actual different cuts of ice.
And if you really want to know about that ice, just ask him how they make it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't have it made there. He has it made for him. Mm-hmm. And the description of how they do it is it's enrapturing almost. And you never thought that would be the case with ice. One other place I thought was really hotly anticipated was the restaurant Juniper. It's on North Boyle in Central West End. John Perkins is the chef owner there, and he had quite a following with some of his pop-up restaurants. And this is his brick-and-mortar real restaurant that he decided to focus on. That was hotly anticipated, and It's still been very popular.
Yeah, I mean, one of the exciting things all year long, we do something in the magazine called Trend Watch. And goodness, it seems like every time we run a Trend Watch, John Perkins has some dish coming out of his restaurant that we're mentioning. It's going to be Southern inspired food, but I know that we've done mentioning them in terms of, like, you know, their pimento cheese or, just some other random, I think the house made sodas, for example.
How about restaurant concepts? Anything that comes to mind from the year? Good concepts?
I think one that opened up just a couple months ago would be Old Standard Fried Chicken, the Chicken Shack. And we're going to see another one opening next month, actually, Bird and Barrel. But this one is Ben Paremba's place. Ben owns Elia and Olio in Botanical Heights. And fried chicken is the focus. Got to try it. I'm also going to recommend their smoked whitefish croquettes and the deviled eggs, for sure. And they do house-made sodas there, too. It's a fun, casual, get your fried chicken here. I think they do it pretty well.
Yeah, let's talk about specific menu items, then, from all of you, from wherever you want to, whatever you want to share with us from the last year. What was really good?
Yeah, I mean, I have five top dishes that will be coming out on the sauce website. And so one of them, speaking of Juniper and John Perkins, I mean, it's so basic. I mean, he's got really great stuff at Juniper, anywhere from the deviled eggs to the fried chicken to, again, that tangy pimento cheese, grilled cheese sandwich. But, you know, I really like their bread board. It's a bread basket, and it's you pay for it. It's $9. People will usually scoff at that and raise their eyebrows and go, my gosh, I'm paying $9 for the bread. But there's buttermilk biscuits. There's cornbread, hush puppies, popovers, and these really fluffy angel biscuits made with yeast and baking powder and lard. And it's almost a meal in itself if you paired it with something. And that made my number five dish, just because of the care and what they do for it. And bread service is going away for the most part in a lot of places and charging for it. But what they do there is really quite good.
I was at a Mexican restaurant a week or two ago, and they charged for chips and salsa. I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah.
I was thinking the bread
thing. You may see more of that.
Yeah. Probably one of my favorite things I had dish-wise this year. I didn't even order it. My wife ordered it, and I stole it from her because it was so good. And this was at Three Flags Tavern, which was on another big opening this year, and just absolutely fantastic stuff coming out of the kitchen there. This was this one in particular was their take on the shrimp and grits, and it was they put just this amazing shrimp with scallops, tasso ham, and manchego cheese within the grits, and it's food's supposed to be an escape, and this takes you somewhere where you feel like it's just warmer, and you want to be there, so. I had to steal that from my wife.
Yeah, well, and speaking of Three Flags, that was another one a restaurant that opened up this year, and their hamburger made my top five list this year because of course every good restaurant's now grinding their beef in house. This is ground brisket, and then of course it's really good. But I think what really set it apart was they make their own potato buns. They're house baked potato buns, and they were sturdy enough where the hamburger just doesn't help disintegrate it. And it's also where you could get some unusual cheeses to top with besides the regular cheddar and American, which is what I usually go for. But I tried one of their it's just a creamy, soft French Burgundy cheese that's very pungent, and it just added a lot to the burger.
I think that the burger at Three Flags is pretty good, but actually my most memorable dish of the year was also a burger. It was the cheeseburger at Death in the Afternoon. I would go there anytime, any day to pick that up. It's all about the molten cheese in the middle, and it is killer awesome.
Would you kill for it, though?
Absolutely. And, you know, I like meat, but I'm not in love with meat. I will eat a salad all the time. But for me to say that a burger was my most memorable dish of the year, that's kind of means something. Yeah. I'll tell you what else is my favorite. I only have two, like, definitively best of the year, and it's the fried Brussels sprout salad, and it's not at a restaurant in town, but you can drive for it. It'll take a few hours. And I found it at Metropolitan Farmer, which is in Springfield.
Missouri.
We ended up, Springfield, Missouri. We ended up actually publishing this recipe in the November issue of the magazine. It was so good. But the chef who owns that restaurant used to be here in town, and he owned a restaurant called Salt, which has since shut down. But phenomenal. It's the fried Brussels sprout salad. And I've seen those more on more menus around, so watch out for fried Brussels sprout salads.
What's the trick to that?
You got it. Oh, my gosh. It's so juicy. You got to fry the Brussels sprouts. You need this crispness. But then there's sort of like this tangy, almost mustardy vinaigrette that goes with it, and when you put it on everything, it's amazing.
How about healthy eating, LaGaia?
Ah, healthy eating, yeah. A couple places opened this year. The Athlete Eats, and that is on Cherokee Street. And also, an interesting one, it's a small cafe called Seeds, with it ends in a Z, in the Des Moines area. Though Seeds is actually vegan, and even more healthy eating. I think we can talk about the food truck with a brick and mortar, and that's Lulu's Local Eatery. They opened on South Grand. They've had a food truck, and it's vegan. When you go in there, you don't think about, oh, this is vegan. It's just delicious food. And we actually reviewed them in the December issue. Those have been exciting places to find a pretty darn healthy good bite.
This is our soundbite segment on Cityscape. We're talking with LaGaia Figueres, Matt Berkeley, and Michael Renner of Sauce Magazine. And Matt, since you write the nightlife review, what about drinks?
Drinks. There is a lot of whiskey right now. It's cold, perfect time to drink whiskey. And the perfect, what I've found is I've been going down to this place on Cherokee, and it's the Whiskey Ring. The perfect drink is essentially for people who aren't sure they don't like whiskey. They're not sure. Perfect gateway drug, this drink. It's the Kentucky Mule. And it's very light. It's very refreshing. It's essentially, bourbon, Kentucky bourbon, and ginger beer and just lime in it on ice in this huge copper mug. And it just makes you happy just to hold this thing. And it's just absolutely, absolutely wonderful. So I've been drinking down there a lot. And it's one of those places where you can get a lot of different kinds of whiskey, not just bourbon. And one of the local ones that has really just come out in this past year, they're putting out some fantastic stuff. It's a downtown distillery. And I'm you can be pretty, apprehensive about, can St. Louis make good alcohol, a good whiskey? We're not known for that. And this place, they're just absolutely killing it. It's still 6:30, and it's their Rally Point Rye. I was just down for a tasting at another bar, and one of the reps were there. And they were just the stuff that they put out it's absolutely, absolutely fantastic. If you like bourbon, then that's going to be much sweeter, because the rye it's a little more potent, a little more spicy, but it goes down so smoothly. And they also make the Still 630 people. They also make one that is maple based as well, so it's got that sweet little hint. But it goes good in any kind of cocktail. So if you can get your hands on it, they don't really sell it too many places. But if you can get your hands on it, or go to the distillery downtown, this is the place you need to be.
Maker's Mark is making a new bourbon. Do you know anything about that?
No.
Well, look into it in the new year.
Look at you, Steve. You're right on the...
you just mentioned the Kentucky Mule. So there's a Missouri Mule. There's other...
Moscow Mule.
Moscow Mule is the classic one. Right. Classic one. So I wonder if one of the trends we're going to see, because I was just at Grapeseed, and they've got a mule drink as well, served in copper thing. So I wonder if that's going to be one of the new trends.
I've seen it in a couple of different places. There's another place down on Del Mar that just opened, that Salt and Smoke, the barbecue place, which is a lot of good things coming out of there. But they have they also have that as well.
Well, so. I think if you take a look at the sheer number of Southern inspired restaurants that we have now, I mean, a mule is the Kentucky Mule idea. We're getting those. It fits with that concept.
Right. I think you're seeing whiskey in a lot of different things. Another drink that I really enjoyed this year out of the Gamlin Whiskey House in the West End was actually the Bloody Ghost. It's a Bloody Mary, but instead of vodka, they use this pepper-infused white whiskey that's really smooth, but peppery at the same time. So it's a meal in itself. So.
Now, the best Bloody Mary that I had this year was at Scottish Arms. This totally makes one of my top drinks. It's called the Smokin' Mary. And so if people are looking for a fun brunch drink, it's a Bloody Mary made with peat smoked single malt scotch and their own house-made peat smoked Bloody Mary mix. Matt, you would really like this, Matt. It's really nice to drink.
Did you have a favorite drink, Michael?
So one of my favorite drinks I just had it at Grapeseed too, and it's a take on their Manhattan. It's the Double Freedom Rocket that uses both bourbon and rye, and that was really good. But I think one thing I noticed and that I really appreciated in some restaurants this year is their wine lists, and more of a focus on affordable, interesting wines by the glass. So one I would point out, Three Flags has 18 wines by the glass. Most of them are pretty affordable. Jack's Cafe has a really small wine list, but pretty well curated. And then I think the one I really liked was that Juniper, again, has some real interest. Again, it's a really small list, but it's where you could get some real interesting, unusual Spanish white wines that you would not be able to get anyplace else, and some white Burgundies as well.
When you say affordable, what do you mean? Under $10 a glass? Is that what you mean by that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole goal is to find a really good, interesting, unusual that I can't buy in the grocery store glass of $7 wine.
While we're on the subject of beverages, and this is a beer town, I think it's worth mentioning just a couple items. Side Project Brewing's Saison Double. I don't know if you guys have had that. Have you guys tasted it?
I
amazing.
Not yet.
It's a farmhouse ale aged in Chardonnay barrels. It really is worth trying. Delicious. I mean, it tastes like a wine. It has a really dry body. There's some acidity from the Saison yeast, and it's just a creamy mouthfeel. Fabulous. And the other one, people can get this, UCBC, Urban Chestnut's Bushel Head Cider.
Mm-hmm.
It came out, you know, they revised their recipe. It came out this summer, and you can pick that up or enjoy it at the at either location. And so the cider, try that.
And Rooster. I had a big glass of Bushel Head last night.
We're seeing some breweries over in on the other side of the river, right?
Quite a few breweries have opened in the Illinois side of the river. One just opened in Edwardsville. That's Recess Brewing. Peel, which is wood-fired pizza, and they have a location in Edwardsville, just opened up a new location in O'Fallon that also has a brewery. We're seeing some stuff coming into Granite City next year, hopefully. So, yeah, we've got a number opening over on the Illinois side.
I think they're planning one in downtown Alton, too.
Yes, so, you are right.
Right, yeah. We're talking with LaGaia Figueres, Matt Berkley, and Michael Renner on Soundbites. Another favorite dish, anyone?
So one of my top dishes was at the new restaurant Cucino Pazzo in the Central West End, and they had a short rib pappardelle. They make their own pappardelle noodles. They braise their own short ribs. So that's a nice hearty winter. Those short ribs are braised for 16 hours in red wine, so that was really good. And then the new restaurant Element, which is right there behind the old city hospital, it's in the old power plant. It's beautiful, beautiful space. Had a venison chop. You don't get to see venison chops very much anywhere, and that's really just big bone-end venison chop. It was great. And then I think one of my top dishes we talked about Peacemaker earlier was the lobster roll. It was superb.
I'd like to hear about that.
Okay. Well, so what really makes this lobster, I mean, two things make a lobster. One is, of course, supremely fresh lobster, but also the bread. I mean, and if you go to the East Coast, you can get a lobster roll on a hot dog bun or a split top bun or whatever. But Nation worked with Companion Bakery on developing the perfect split top roll. And they have it. It's just perfectly buttery, griddled. So it's kind of crispy on the outside, but just that nice sponginess on the inside that holds the meat. And then the one I had was the warm style one. And that was just, you know, with drawn butter. Even their main style, which is the cold, usually just doused with mayonnaise, was really good too. But it's the bun that really makes. And it's beautiful looking.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's great.
We're also seeing, I've seen a lot more barbecue popping up this year especially. And one of the places that I reviewed was a Southtown pub, which is I just found to have absolutely fantastic smoked everything. They smoke all their meats. They smoke portobello mushrooms. They smoke corned beef. They smoke oysters on Friday afternoons. But their smoked chicken wings are just absolutely out of this world. I've had those at other places where they just get completely dried out. And, you know, crispy is one thing, but, you know, it's when it's charcoal, it's another. But these, you bite into them, and it's so moist, so fantastic. But they're also, they do another dish that really kind of stood out for me there was just, they do this thing called the Hoosier Nachos. And they'll just take pulled pork, smoked pulled pork, and they'll put them on. They make their own potato chips. So instead of tortilla chips, they'll make their own potato chips, and they'll just pile them on there. Then throw on sour cream, pepper jack cheese, baked beans, and then you throw on this really sweet barbecue sauce, and it's this conglomeration of salty, sweet, hot, creamy, cheesy all at once, and it's exploding, and you need a beer, and they have a lot of them. So Southtown Pub, it's one of those places where you drive by it a million times and it just looks like it's a little hole in the wall, but it's some of the best barbecue.
It's crazy
that
fun.
It's absolutely. You go out of the place reeking of smoke, but it's gorgeous.
How about pizza?
Pizza, yes. We've had a bunch of new pizza places open. In fact, Michael,
man.
You have you've reviewed two of them. I think one of the fun ones for me has been A Pizza Story down in Maplewood. I like that place. I enjoy it. I can't remember the name of their pizza that has the arugula on it. Do you recall it?
Oh.
I think that was the standout pizza for me when I was down there.
But yeah, I like to
I know that you have particular thoughts on pizza these days.
Well, there's a lot of – that's a big trend. Wood-fired pizzerias are everywhere. And everybody's got their own wood-fired oven. And, you know, and they're good. But and they call themselves Neapolitan pizzerias, wood-fired Neapolitan pizza. But, you know, to be called that, you really do have to abide by some of the most extensive, stringent rules – to be called that. And one is, you know, cooking at temperatures of 900 degrees. The dough has to be a certain way, and it's got to be very thin and crispy around the edges and kind of fluffy on the inside. But, you know, a lot of these places aren't doing that. It's good pizza. There's no doubt about it. But I just – when everybody's calling themselves a Neapolitan pizzeria, you know, I raise my eyebrows at that because I don't think they're following the strict rules of that. But I still think you're going to see a lot more wood-fired pizzerias opening up in the coming year. They're still popular.
One of the pizza – actually, I was at this place for my – I got married this last year, and I was – my bachelor party was at a pizza place, and it was one of the places I reviewed, and it's the 21st Amendment Bar, the downstairs, which is just absolutely fantastic little place. It's this beer cellar that used to be this old 19th century storage space for an old brewery that's in the same building as Vindicette and PW Pizza. And PW Pizza sends down their pizza to this beer cellar that has about 50 beers on tap. So it's just the perfect place to be, especially with a big group of rowdy guys. And the pizza is just out of this world. It's very – it's thin, but it's not St. Louis thin crust. And they do things – with the toppings. It's just outrageous. Applewood smoked bacon, big oversized meatballs that will actually go right there on there. And fresh, like, fennel sausage that they make and, you know, all mozzarella and just amazing sauce. And it just – it makes for a great, great night.
All right, one last question for all of you. Guy, I'll start with that. What are you looking forward to in 2015 as far as food and drink in St. Louis? Anything caught your eye?
Michael brought up the idea of the bread basket. The bread baskets are getting amazing. I also see fried chicken as a continued obsession among restaurants in town and not just ones that make fried chicken Sunday dinners. I also would predict that we are going to see a lot more bitter greens around here. Everybody's seems to be okay with kale now, so let's move on and we're going to see some. But within the realm of bitter.
Michael?
I agree. I think we're going to see more of those places, you know, more barbecue. I think we're going to see more Mexican-themed restaurants. I think we'll see – I'm really curious to know how this butcher trend is going to pan out. I mean, we have several new butcheries that have opened up and what that's going to look like. I'm also curious to know about this new Alaska-themed restaurant that's coming pretty soon, coming next year, called True Sights, an Alaskan bistro and dinner theater.
I'd like to hear more about that in the new year. Anything final for you?
I'm curious to see how long the whiskey thing's going to last. It's at a critical moment right now. It doesn't seem like it's going to get any bigger. And, you know, everybody's got whiskey. Everybody wants, you know, bourbon and barbecue, bourbon and this. And I just want to see, you know, it'll definitely go into
the next year.
Well,
and we're also at a little bit of a bourbon shortage. I know that some of these new places that are opening up, some of the bars, they'll ask distributors. They'll have a list of maybe 30 bourbons that they want, and they can only get maybe 15 of them. So there's a run on bourbon right
now.
All right. Matt Berkley writes the Nightlife Review. Michael Renner writes the New and Notable Review in Sauce Magazine. Thank you both for being here so much. And Lagayo, Sauce Magazine, January, what have you got?
January. Well, since we're talking about what to look forward to, check out Hit List. We're going to have 7 new places to try. If you want to go somewhere, go to Soul Taco for the rest of the holiday. They just opened up their new location in The Loop. It's a very exciting place, crazy candy for the eyes. And next month, we have a few exciting guests that we're going to bring on when we they are alumna from our Ones to Watch with our people who we think are going to have a lasting impact on the St. Louis food scene. And that's going to be our cover story for the January issue.
Well, I enjoy seeing you every month. It's been fun.
Likewise.
Look forward to all the new ones.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, thanks for being here. Happy New Year.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next on Cityscape, a year-end look back at the local art scene. This is St. Louis Public Radio.